Now we come to our 20th in this series of messages, preaching from Titus. And I invite you to get your Bibles and follow with us today in Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 11 and 12. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. The Bible said, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Now, our Heavenly Father, will you help us as we look into these scriptures today? In Jesus' name, amen. Now, God begins here in these verses, talking to Titus and the Apostle Paul about the grace of God. And, of course, we've dealt with the grace of God that bringeth salvation. God brings that to all men. It's up to you to choose heaven or choose hell. Now, once you are saved by grace or the favor of God. It's nothing good that you do. All right. But now, once you are saved by the grace of God, God has some instructions for you. Now, we're living in a day, in an hour, and I don't want to be unkind about it, but we're living in a day, and I hear this statement a lot. Well, preacher, I'm under grace. And I agree with you. I agree with you that we are under grace. We are not under the law. I am not under the Mosaical law. I am not a legalist. A legalist is one that believes the law in order to be saved. I have never said that a man ought to keep the law in order to go to heaven. I am not a Pharisee. A Pharisee was one who added to his own customs and things. He added to, and I'm not adding. So I'm not a Pharisee, and I'm not a legalist. But I am a, this is not a word, I guess, but I'm a Bibleist. Amen. I believe in the Bible. How about that? Amen. Now, we say we're under grace, and we are under grace. But even under grace, we find that the Word of God teaches us, amen, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, we're under grace. Romans chapter number 6, verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, when you're saved by the good grace of God and you're born again and you're on your way to heaven, then, my friend, the Bible still has instruction for you. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for, and then he give a list of things it is profitable for. It's profitable for correction, for instruction, and maybe I didn't quote it word for word there, but doctrine. And so I can get doctrine out of any part of the Bible. Now, I have to rightly divide, amen, because we're not under the law. We're not under the day of the law. We're under the dispensation of grace. But yet today, grace teaches us. Now, I want to preach to you on this subject today, a grace that teaches. A grace that teaches. Well, what does the grace of God teach us? What does the favor of God? Let me say this. I serve the Lord because I want to. I serve the Lord because I love Him. I serve the Lord today for because I love Him. I have always loved the Lord. When I got saved, I loved the Lord as a young person. I love the Lord today. Now, we can make all the excuses we want to make. And you say, well, preacher, the reason our young people don't live right is because of the pressure of their peers and the pressure of people and this and that and nothing. No, I'm just going to say it this way. The reason we don't live right is because we don't love the Lord. Amen, like we should. Amen. If you love somebody, you're going to try to please them. Many of you, you please your wife. Why? Because you love her. You please your husband because you love him. Why not please Jesus? Amen. Why is Jesus a second choice for us in this day and hour? Amen. But let me show you what grace teaches. Now, let's take the scriptures and look at it. Let's look at verse number 12 today, all right? They said in verse 11, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, all right? And so we understand that. Amen. We understand that God's grace, let me just read it again. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. All right. We understand that. Now, in verse number 12, teaching us. Teaching us. Now, us is the key here. Now, a lost man knows nothing of the grace of God. And so, therefore, a lost man is not going to be expected to live right. Now, I'm going to say this. You can clean up until the cows come home, but it'll never get you to heaven. Somebody said, well, preacher, I'm trying to turn over a new leaf. Well, the wind will blow it back over. Somebody said, preacher, I got to do this and do that before I get saved. No, sir. No, sir. No, that's a lie of the devil. You don't have to do better before you get saved. God wants you just the way you are. He can take you, old dirty and vile sinner, and lift you out of the mire. God wants you exactly the way you are. Your cleaning up doesn't impress God. And I just want to say, we that are saved, just because we live right, that don't impress God. And the fact of that God makes us better than other people. No, if it were not for the grace of God, I'd be in hell today. But the grace of God, the very favor of God, the very fact that God has been good to Ricky Cothran, the very fact that God saved him from hell, the very fact that he don't have to burn in eternity in the lake of fire, ought to make Ricky Cothran love the Lord and want to serve God. The grace of God teaches who? Us. The saved people. Amen. Now, when you get saved by the grace of God, there's a change that takes place. I want to make a statement on the radio. If you did not change when you got saved, you didn't get saved. Amen. Now, wait a minute. You will sin after you're saved because you're in the flesh. But there is a new man inside of you. There's a new spirit. He's called the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of you. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. The Bible said, behold, all things are become new. I got saved on a Sunday night in January of 1978, the 22nd day. Now, the next morning, I was in Miss Hutchison's fifth grade class at the Rhonda Kleeman Elementary School. I was in fifth grade. But I tell you, there was such a change in my life the night I got saved. There are 2 days I remember in my life very well. Anyway, as well as I can remember being a child. One of them is a little hard. I mean, going back to the night Mama got saved, I still remember it, though. I still remember it like it was yesterday. I mean, but it's been over 50 years ago now. And there was such a holiness that came in that room when Mama got saved. Scared me. I was a little boy. Amen. But when I got saved a few years later, I understood a little bit better. There was a cleanness that came over me. And I mean, the next day I couldn't explain it. But, brother, I knew something had changed inside my life. I didn't have to have Mama to tell me. I didn't have to have Daddy to tell me. I knew that I'd been born again. I'm so sure I'm saved, I wouldn't be afraid to swing over hell on a rotten rope and spit in the devil's eye. Amen. With the Holy Ghost being my helper. Amen. Because I'm saved by the grace of God. Now, I got saved. I got changed. And so new things began to happen. I wanted to go to church, where at once I didn't really know all about that. I wanted to sing songs, amen, more than ever. And you know what else? I wanted to know more about the Bible after I got saved. When I first got saved, we had a new preacher had came to our church, and he really worked with me. He tried to help me. He loved me. And he really worked. All our preachers did. I thank God for all my pastors that have always worked with me and tried to help me. I praise the Lord. I've had several men that have been my pastors down through the years, and they have helped me. But the grace of God, listen, there are some things I didn't have to even have the preacher tell me. God began to teach me. He began to teach me. I've told you this story many times. My uncle, and he's passed away now. He's in heaven now. My uncle Johnny, and he was a Baptist deacon. And my uncle Johnny, he'd take us up to the river, and we'd go in there, and we'd wade around the water and play around. I don't know if any of us could swim or not, but we'd go in there and play a little bit. And you know me, I was just worldly, and I went in there in my little shorts on, didn't have any shirt on, anything, and. I mean, the first time that I did that after I got saved, the very first time I did that after I got saved, the Holy Ghost said, "What are you doing here?" You see, the Holy Ghost, when you get saved, He lives on the inside of you. You say, "Preacher, I don't have that. I don't have anybody guiding me." Well, you're not saved if you don't have anybody guiding you. I've got somebody guiding me. I can't do when I do something wrong, the Holy Ghost says, "Hey, I've told you this story before, how I yelled at the lady through the little speaker at the drugstore." And about the time I did that, boy, I tell you what, the Holy Ghost said, "Son, What have you done here? Amen. My wife said the same thing. Amen. About that time, her and the Lord both about the same time said, what in the world have you done? I yelled at little lady through that speaker. Let me tell you something, brother. I apologize to her too. But I want to say this to you. You know what will make you go back and get things right? The Holy Ghost will. Amen. Now, we don't hear that kind of preaching much anymore, but I tell you right now, when you get saved, you'll want to pick that Bible up and begin to read it. Boy, I'll never forget it. That preacher gave me that giant print Bible, and I tell you what, I picked it up and began to read. Amen. And I was right there in the den of lions with Daniel, and I crossed the Red Sea with Moses, and I helped Noah build the ark. Amen. I'm talking about just being right there reading. Now, the second thing I want you to notice, that the grace of God teaches us in verse number 12, look at it, denying. You see that little word, denying, denying. In the Greek, that means refuse. For all you folk that like the Greek, that means refuse. That means that there are some things in life we ought to deny. Now, I'm glad for the things I'm for, and some people ain't for anything. By the way, I'm not one of these fellows that's against everything. I'm for some things. I'm for the Bible. I'm for the church. I'm for singing. I'm for shouting. I'm for praising God. I'm for giving. I'm for living right. I'm for enjoying life. I'm for having a good time. I'm for understanding the wholeness of God and realize that we worship a holy God. I'm for all of that. But there are some things I'm to deny. There are some things that I'm to say no to. No is not a dirty word. Amen. No, sir. There are some things I'm to be against. As a born-again believer and as a fundamental Baptist preacher, there are some things I'm to be against. Amen. There are some things that I'm to say no to. Now, denying. By the way, in Genesis, I just want to give you this about refusing. Denying, you know, ungodliness, worldliness, we're going to deal with that. But the word denying, refuse something. You know, we live in such a weak hour, there's a lot of folk don't refuse anything. By the way, the Bible said, abstain from all appearance of evil. I had some fellas ask me one time, I was pastoring a church, and they didn't mean any harm about it at all. They wanted to win people to God, and I'm glad they did. And they said, preacher, let's go up here at the beer joint. I said, no, we're not going in there. They said, well, why not? I said, we're not going in there. I said, our testimony is we're not. Now, I know we'd be in there handing out tracts stuff, but listen, the Bible said, don't cast your pearls for swine. Amen. Sometimes you can do the right thing wrong. My testimony means the world to me. Amen. There are some things I'm to say no to. And down through the years, I've had to say no to some things. Amen. Let me read you a little story in the Bible. I want to read you a little story about a young man when he was 17 years old. His name was Joseph. You remember him? And Joseph's brothers, Joseph began, and by the way, back in that day, God worked in visions and dreams. And he don't do that now. We have the Bible. But back in that day, he did. And Joseph would dream dreams. And Joseph began to dream, and he began to tell his brethren about the dreams that he had. And, of course, one of them had the 11 sons bowing down, the sun, the moon. That was Jacob and his wife. And they did, by the way. Joseph fed all of them in Egypt. And so his brothers got mad about that. They didn't like that. And they didn't like his dreams. And so they said, behold, that dreamer cometh. And so one day they caught Joseph, put him in a pit, and they would have killed him. And one of the brothers delivered him, and they sold him down into Egypt. Well, Joseph got down there, and everything's going all right. He landed in a man named Potiphar. He went to his, with him. Somehow, I guess Potiphar bought him as a slave, and boy, he was great. But then there's a little problem came up in Genesis chapter 39. You bear with my reading, and let's read a little bit. Genesis 39, beginning at verse number 7, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Now, boy, that was just wrong, amen? I mean, she cast her eyes. She got looked in the wrong place. She was a heathen. She wasn't saved. Verse number 8 says, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, he's trying to get her to understand reality. My master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. Verse number 9 says this, there is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Now, they didn't have the Bible, but they knew sin was wrong. Amen. They didn't have the Bible. By the way, they didn't even have the Holy Ghost dwelling on the inside of them. He came upon men in the Old Testament. but they knew it was wrong. By the way, we need to get back to saying, hey, adultery is wrong. Nudity is wrong. Dirty television programs is wrong. Dirty language is wrong. Amen. We need to get back to that kind of stuff. Amen. All you say, preacher, that ain't popular preaching. Nobody's Bible preaching. Amen. I mean, do you know why that Joseph refused her advances toward him? Because somewhere along the way, and by the way, Jacob wasn't really one to be teaching this. He sure wasn't. Amen. And really, Rachel, I mean, she brought a lot of things on too. She wasn't altogether godly. So I don't know how in the world he got taught right. But somewhere along the way, Jacob said, hey, son, adultery is wrong. By the way, Jacob did at least marry the four women that he had for wives. Amen. And let me say this to you, that adultery has never been right. It never will be right. It's always wrong. And the Bible said, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Some of you preachers, I love you. But some of you men are one step away from getting out of the ministry today if you don't quit messing around, amen, and talking, amen, to somebody else's wife for 10 minutes at a time you ain't got no business to, amen. That's right. And you need to be careful about that. Now, here they are. And now let's pick up in verse number, where do we get to? Verse 10. The Bible says, and it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day. Boy, the devil don't give up, does he? Denying. The grace of God will teach you to deny, not the law. The law hadn't been given, by the way. The law didn't teach him, but grace taught him. Grace taught him. Amen. Thank God. Now, hey, sin's wrong. Now, this woman didn't give up. I mean, she spoke to him day by day. Every day she spoke to him with her dirty little ways. Amen. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her. Now, watch this. To lie by her or to be with her. Now, if she didn't get him to lie with her, She tried to get him to lie by her. You know, that's just the way the devil is. I mean, just come lie by me. There won't be nothing wrong with that. We just, you know, talk, whatever. And then as she seen that didn't work, she said, well, how about just being with me? Just, you know, keep me company. Just be with me. Talk to me. Listen, brother, that'll get you in trouble hanging around the opposite sex altar. I don't have a best friend that's a woman besides my wife. I want you to understand that. I don't have one that I text. I don't have one that I correspond with on social media. No, sir. No, sir. Christy Cawthorne is my wife. She's the only woman I'm interested in. Thank you. And I praise God for her. Amen. All right. Now, verse number 11 says this. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. Now, boy, the devil uses opportunity. Right there. I'm going to stop right there. You preachers better be careful how you meet in an office with a woman with the door closed. You better be careful about that kind of stuff. I'm just warning you, better be careful. Even if there's no harm, something will get started that ain't right. Amen. You better be careful how you stand talk to a woman in your church 20 minutes at a time. You better be careful about that kind of stuff. Oh, you say, Brother Catherine, I wouldn't be preaching that. I'm going to tell you right now, the grace of God teach us to deny some stuff. Amen. Amen. All right, verse number 12 says, and she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. I mean, her lust had swelled up inside of her. She'd had all she could stand. She couldn't help it no more. And she just grabbed hold of him. The Bible said, and he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Now, I want to ask you, would you have fled? Would you have ran? We're living in such a weak hour day. I wonder how many men of God would run from that kind of stuff. I wonder how many people. You say, well, preacher, the power of sin, the power of lust just overwhelmed me. It wouldn't if you wouldn't let it. The grace of God teaching us that denying, refusing, saying no. Amen. Now, let's go on. Let me go on here. All right. Now, the third thing I want you to notice, ungodliness. Deny. What are we going to deny? Ungodliness. We are to refuse, we are to deny ungodliness. What is ungodliness? The want of reverence toward God, or the lack of reverence toward God. Amen. Ungodliness is what the heathens do. You'd be surprised how many Baptists are ungodly. I preach about Baptists, what I am, you know. I mean, you may be some other denomination, you can still be ungodly. You'd be surprised how many Christian people are saved people, rather. I've never seen an ungodly Christian, but a saved person. You'd be surprised. You say, preacher, can a saved person be ungodly? You better believe it, friend. All through this Bible, I can show you men that acted ungodly. Amen? That's right. Amen. It teaches us that we are to refuse. We're to turn away from ungodliness. We're to say no to ungodliness. Amen. Now, by the way, We ought to reverence God. My friend, if America's going to have revival, she's going to have to fear God again. We're going to have to come back to God. We're going to have to realize the Lord's Day. We're going to have to realize the Bible is the Word of God. We're going to have to realize the church is the institution and the organism of God. Amen. We got to come back to some things. Amen. And let me say this. We ought to deny some things. Now, in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5, the Bible said, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. What about that? You see, God looked down on a whole world of people and realized that all they thought about was evil all the time. Brother, does that describe America today? I'm talking about church people. They talk ungodly. They act ungodly. They dress ungodly. Oh, preacher, I'm under grace. I can just do whatever I want to. Well, it ain't quite the way this is working out. A grace that teaches. Grace teaches you to deny, to refuse ungodliness, irreverence. I've seen preachers stand, and I don't want to be ugly on the radio. I don't want to be mean about it. I've seen preachers do the Lord's Supper, the communion service, and stand and make fun in the middle of it. Brother, there's no wonder there's so many people sick in our churches. The Bible said, for this cause, many are sick and some even sleep. God's had to kill some people. Oh, you say, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, I'm not worried about what you believe. I'm going to preach the Bible. But I'm just simply telling you here, brother, that we're deny ungodliness. We're deny, and when a man is being irreverent toward God, we'd get away from that man. I've heard preachers stand and make fun of Sunday, the Lord's Day. Let me tell you something, brother. Sunday's God's day. Sunday's the get right. Boy, there's no day in the week like Sunday. Amen. Boy, you get up with church on your mind. You go down to the house of God. I tell you, when that choir begins to sing on Sunday, I sit there and I worship God with that choir. Amen. In my heart, you say, preacher, but you ain't running down the aisles. You ain't shouting. You don't know what's in my heart. I'm worshiping God. Amen. Leave me alone. Amen. I'm having me a good time. It's the Lord's Day. And you know what? I even want to go to church on Sunday evening. Amen. Why? Because it's the Lord's Day. I want to go see God high and holy and lifted up. He's wonderful and He's great and He's gracious and He's loving to us. And I want God to be reverenced on that day. I want to fear God's Bible. Well, I'm tired of preachers and people pulling this Bible apart and saying, well, it ought to said this, and it should have said that, and it ought to said this. Why don't we just live by it instead of trying to tear it apart? Amen? If this ain't the Bible, show me what I need to live by. But if you ain't got a perfect Bible, you ain't got a perfect salvation. Amen? This is the Word of God. Amen? We're to deny ungodliness. We're to deny when a person is irreverent toward God, we're to refuse that. I refuse it. I'm not going to get irreverent toward God. No, sir. Ungodliness. I don't want anything to do with it. Amen. Men today want to live without God. They want to live ungodly. Amen. They want to live without the Bible. Did you know that? Why, men today would love to live without the Bible. They sure do. I mean, I hate to say it, but in our churches, we don't really want much Bible. We cut the preaching out, you know. Everything else is more important than the preaching. Give us a little sermonette, you know, for a little Christianette. Well, I'm not into the sermonette business. I believe we ought to preach the book, and I believe we ought to preach it in love, and I believe we ought to preach. And by the way, it's not just some don'ts. There's some do's in there. There's some positivity in that Bible. It'll tell you how great God is and how wonderful God is and how beautiful heaven is and how wonderful the Christian life can be. There's some good stuff in the Word of God. Man, I tell you what, some folk want to live without the church. I refuse ungodliness. You know, it's ungodly to live without church. Did you know that? It's ungodly when saved people don't even go to church. Amen. Oh, preacher, I can live as good at home. Who told you that? The church is a wonderful place. Oh, you say there, people, preacher, there's hypocrites of the church. You're exactly right. There's hypocrites down there where you work, but you still work there. There's hypocrites, amen, at the voting booth, but you vote, don't you? There's hypocrites at the grocery store, but you buy your groceries. Amen. There's hypocrites, amen, down at the pleasure and the amusement park, but you go, don't you? Amen. And I ain't got nothing wrong with you going to places, amen. That's decent, but it ain't none of my business. But I'm just saying to say it. Today, I think men as a society, we will live without God. And by the way, as a society, there's a group of people who'd love to shut your churches down. No, they don't want the real church to go on. Amen. There's a bunch who want to live without creation today. Boy, if we can deny the creation, we can deny the Creator. They want to live without the blood. They're like Cain. They want to live without prayer. They want to live without the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's some of us Baptists want to live without the Spirit of God. You say, preacher, how in the world can I know to live right? Well, praise God, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit will be in there. Salvation. Boy, they won't live without Christ. A lot of people do. Now, number four, notice this. Verse number 12 again. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Worldly lust. We're to say no. We're to refuse worldly lust. And that hurts a lot of people. One fellow made a statement. He said, the church is so worldly and the world's so churchy, you can't tell the difference. And that's kind of what the Bible said. He said they'd be lukewarm. Amen. That's about where people are today. Amen. Boy, they think they're doing something for God, but they're lukewarm. I'm talking about, well, you say, preacher, that's a time we're living in where you can't change that. No, we can still preach the Bible, love people. Why, listen, old brother Lester Roloff. You know, I loved Roloff. I never got to meet him, but I loved his preaching. I loved him, amen. One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind. You know, I loved him sing. I loved him preach. Didn't you? There wasn't a man like him. And Roloff could say some things sometimes. It'd be kind of blunt, kind of like me. But you know, Brother Roloff, there's one thing about him. He had the right spirit, didn't he? He just loved people. And boy, people knew that he loved them. He loved those boys and girls at those homes. I mean, there's one thing Roloff did. By the way, you preach anything you want to if you love people. Do you know that? Why, you people on the radio, I love you. I'd do anything in the world I could for you. And you've never met me. Some of y'all never met me, but I love you. And God bless you. I don't want to see you. I don't want to see you suffer. I don't want to see you get chastened by the Lord. I don't want to see you live a half life. I give them a life. I've been preaching 41 years now I've given to this mission. I thank God for it. I've given my earthly life to this thing. And I'm coming down now to the end of it. I mean, here's the thing about it. It won't be, you know, 25 years. If I think about 25 years from right now, I'll be 84-year-old. 25 years from now, I'll be 84-year-old. I'll probably be done a lot quicker than 84. 25 years from now, I can remember 25 years ago like it's yesterday. The year, as I'm preaching this, it's been the year 2000, 25 years ago. You know where I was New Year's Eve, 1999 into 2000, 25 years ago? I was preaching in Raleigh, Illinois, the Grace Baptist Church in Raleigh, Illinois. That's where I was when the new year came in, 1999, 2000, 25 years ago. Now, that 25 years, that last 25 years, gone just like that right there. Last 25 years, gone just like that right there, just gone just like that. I mean, but listen to me, brother. Life is passing. I'm coming down the last legs of this thing now. And I want to love people more than I've ever loved them. I want to help people more than I've ever helped them. Amen. Well, worldly lust. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, I don't want to seek the lust of this old world. Do you? I like that old song said, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Amen. Do you like that? Amen. Why would I want to seek old money? You know money's nasty. You ever thought about a little old kid, he stick a quarter in his mouth? He might puke it back out his nose, something, throw it up. You get it and put it in your pocket, never know he had it. I just made you sick, didn't I? Why, a dollar bill. Think about how many people's handle a dollar bill, amen? I mean, I don't mean to be ugly on the radio, but some folk, amen, they hands nasty and all that, handle money and whatever. I mean, you know, just what, maybe you've been working on a car, you got grease all over, handle $20 bill, and somebody's getting, why, money's just nasty. Then it said just nasty. But money, let me tell you something, the cheapest thing in heaven is gold. You think you're filthy, the Bible called it filthy. The Bible called money filthy. Well, you think your filthy lucre is going to buy you anything in heaven? Why, brother, I mean, it's nasty, amen? I don't want old money. Somebody said, I love my money, don't mean one thing to me. It don't mean anything. I've seen God supply my needs. There's a fellow not long ago, and he, I don't know how to say this, but I did something for him, and I felt like it's the right thing to do. He had done our ministry a good deed, and I did something for him, and I'd give him a certain amount of money, and I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I said, I'm going to give you this amount, and I raised it up a little bit. He kind of looked at me a little bit, and I said, brother, I said, before the sun goes down today, somebody will give me $1,000. And I give them that money. And you know what? Before the sun went down, I had $1,000. Let me tell you something. Money don't mean nothing to me. You say, well, preacher, can you just call money out of heaven? No. God only gives it to me when I need it. I have never, as far as I know, I don't owe one radio station a dime for being on it across this country. And by the way, if I do, it ain't my fault, and I'll find out what the problem is. Amen. I don't owe one radio station, not one dime. I ain't going to leave a bad testimony on nothing. I try to be, but money's not my goal. I don't preach to you. By the way, there's donations coming on the radio. I've got some of you that listen to me, and there's some people listen to me. They give quite large sums of money. But I'll tell you this, I don't compromise for your money. I don't bend for your money. I don't change for your money. You know why? I just don't worldly lust. What about pleasure? It's all right to have some things ain't nothing wrong with. Now some people, they make something wrong out of everything. You know it? Well, if you had two termites crossing the road, somebody would say that's wrong about something. But there's nothing wrong with some things having pleasure. We don't take many vacations. But the other week, me and my wife, we just took a week off. We got away to ourselves, amen. And we got us this hotel. And every night, this hotel was right by a river. And every night, they'd build a big old fire out there in the gas grill. And me and my wife, we'd sit out there by that fire, sit out by that river, and I'd eat popcorn. And man, like to eat myself to death, had a good time, and just enjoyed things, and went to shops, and everything. And ain't nothing wrong with that. But I don't do it every day. I got work to do. I can't sit by the fire every night. I can't eat popcorn every day. I got work to do. I mean, listen, man, there's work to do. Work, for the night is coming, friend. I mean, we better get our minds off of pleasure. All some people study about is where they're going next weekend for pleasure. And then where they're going next week. And then what sites they're going to say. Have you ever thought about something? Now, some of y'all, and I ain't got nothing wrong with traveling. I promise you, I've never been out of the United States but one time. And I didn't think I was going to get back across the border that time. Amen. That fellow I was with, if he'd have kept talking, I don't know if we'd ever got back or not. I finally just shushed him up, and I got us back across the border. I was never going to get back. But here's the deal. I ain't never been nowhere much. I'm uncultured, unrefined, and a little ignorant, I guess you'd say. And y'all have already figured that out, hadn't you? Somebody said, I already knew that, and he's admitting it now. But you ever thought about something? You spend all this money to go to Mexico and England. I got an email from London, England, the other day. And I wouldn't mind going over to London. I like to see London. And Jerusalem, Israel. And so, but have you ever thought about something? If you're saved by grace and born again in the millennium, you're going to see it all anyway. Why, you just waste your money going now. You're going to see London in a perfect state one day. You're going to see Jerusalem. And by the way, it was the capital of the Jewish people long before the president designated it the capital. I mean, now he did a good thing. I'm not mad about that. But Jerusalem's always been the capital of God's people. Amen. In God's mind. And you're going to get to see those places in their perfect state. You say, preacher, you ain't never been anywhere. Don't need to go. I'm going one of these days. Hallelujah. I may be the president of, I may be the king of England in the millennium. I don't know what God's going to let me do. You don't either. I don't need all this pleasure. What about material gain? Two or three houses. If you got two or three houses, I'm not mad at you. God bless you, Brother Ricky. Imagine, but how do you live in two or three houses at one time? You can't be faithful to local church. If you're going to be at the beach house 6 months and the mountain house 6 months, which church you going to be at? Which church you going to be at? I love my, now I'm an evangelist. As of the time I'm preaching, I do evangelists. I do meetings, and I'll preach meetings wherever they are, amen. And revival meetings, whatever, one time service, whatever they are, I just preach when God opens the door. And I'm in different churches promoting the radio ministry, all that. But you know what? I like my home church. I like my pastor. I like our deacons. I like our song leader. I like my church. And boy, there's a lot of times, amen, that my church is just where I don't have a meeting or whatever. I enjoy going to my home church. I enjoy that. Amen. I enjoy it. Thank God. Amen. Amen. I mean, you know, amen. But material gain keeps some people from serving the Lord. If I had a boat, I'm afraid I'd stay on it too much. Now, I'm not mad at you if you got a boat. But I'll tell you one thing, you preachers, if you got a golf club in one hand and a fishing reel in the other hand, you'll never write a bunch of books. Oh, you see, well, preacher, it don't really matter. You know, I don't care about writing books. You better write something. Leave somebody something when you're gone. You better record some sermons, amen? And just get you a tape recorder, get you a computer, and go to recording sermons, and leave something for your grandchildren besides a 25-pound fish, amen? Leave them something. Leave them spiritual heritage, amen? Leave them something from God, amen? Now, let's show this number. What about this, amen? What about denying ungodliness and worldly lust? What about immorality? We already dealt with that, but you got to say no to the immorality of this world. We got to say no to the dirty jokes of this world. We got to say no to the indecent dress of this world. We got to say no to sex outside marriage and immoral relationships. Amen. We got to say no to that. We got to say no to living together, not being married. We got to say no, no. That's wrong. Amen. We have to stand up for that. Amen. Now, verse number 12 again. He said, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. He said, we should live soberly. What does that mean? Well, that word means of a sound mind. Soberly, amen, temperately, amen, discreetly. It means self-control. Boy, a lot of us need work on that, don't we? I need work on that self-control thing, and some of you do too, don't we? I mean, we really need work on that self-control. You know, the grace of God, not the law. He didn't say the law teaches, he said the grace teaches us. Grace teaches me that I'm to live soberly in this world. I'm to live of a sound mind. I'm going to say this on the radio now. I know that there's a place for mental health. And there's a place for certain medicines. There's a place for that. I'm not a fool. But I want to say to you that 90% of mental health problems would be solved if people would find God as their Savior. And then the next of them that are saved would get right with God. My daddy was a nervous man. My daddy had very, very bad nerve troubles. I seen my daddy go down the road, and his nerves would be so bad, he'd make rackets. He'd go, oh, oh, and he'd just, it'd make some kind of racket. Maybe it wasn't exactly the way it was, some kind of, and you know what I did? As a foolish young boy, I made fun of my daddy. I'd go, oh, oh, like he did, just make fun. You know what happened to me later in life? I had major surgery. I got depressed, and I had nerve problems. Let me tell you something, brother. It'll come home to them seeds you put in the ground. Those seeds you sow will come up. But I'm to live soberly. I'm to be in my right mind. Amen. I'm to have control of myself. Galatians 5:23, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, the nine attributes of the fruit of the Spirit: meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In other words, if you love, joy, peace, all of them, he gave you nine attributes. Here's the thing. You don't need no law to keep you in mind, keep you in line if you've got those things. If I've got the Holy Spirit in here, I don't have to go by the Mosaical law to keep me in line. Grace is going to teach me. Grace teaches me. So I'm not a legalist. I'm not keeping the law to be saved. I'm not a Pharisee. I'm not adding anything to God. I'm saved by grace. I'm just saved by grace. And yet it teaches me to live sober. You know what? I'm to have self-control over my temper. You know, I don't understand this at all. But Moses lost his temper. Really, you've never seen Moses was the meekest man ever lived. Lost his temper one time and lost his shot going in the promised land. Now, God was right about that. Whatever God does, I don't understand it. But God was right about that. But this goes to show you a man can lose his temper. And brother, when you lose your temper and I lose my temper, amen, we're in trouble. I have never lost my temper that something good ever came out of it. I never have. Somebody said, I'll tell them what I think. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's an old thing that keeps coming to my mind a lot of times. A bulldog can whoop a skunk any day of the week, but it ain't worth it. Amen? There's just some fights ain't worth having. Did you know that? Why, there's something Brother Bobby Robertson said years ago, that great dear preacher that pastored Gospel Light in Winston-Salem for Walkertown area for over 60 years, that great good man of God, great friend of mine. Bobby said there's two fellas got in an argument one time, and he said one of them wrote a letter to the oven, but he made sure I got a copy of it. Never addressed anything to me, just made sure I got a copy of it. He said that other fellow responded back to him with a letter. He never wrote me or asked me anything. He just made sure I got a copy of it too. Those two men feuding, but they wanted to drag Brother Bobby in the middle. And I'm going to say, don't drag me in the middle of your junk. I don't want to be in the middle of nobody's drama, nobody's junk. I don't want to be in the middle. You say, preacher, don't you want to take sides? No, I don't want to take sides of nobody. I take Jesus' side. I want to be careful about my temper. Amen. I want to live sober in this world. What about my tongue? Boy, that's my big problem. My tongue. The other night, I started to preach, and preacher came back, handed me the wireless mic, and pinned on me. I was in the church, and a dear friend of mine I was preaching for. And right before he did that, there's taking the offer, and I knew it was going to be a little while before I preached, and I put a piece of candy in my mouth. And when I did, I bit down that candy, and I bit my tongue. Man, that hurt. I bit my big, long tongue. Can you believe that? And that preacher come back and put that wireless on me, and I went to the pulpit. I think my tongue's still hurting when I went up there. Boy, my tongue's too long. One lady told the preacher, said, "Sir," she said, "Pastor, I came to lay my tongue on the altar." He said, "Ma'am, lay what you can and call the rest of it up." Said, "There's 40-foot altar there." Said, "Lay what you can there and call the rest of it up in the corner." One fellow said his wife's tongue so long, said she could sit in the living room, lick a frying pan in the kitchen. Well, I'm going to tell you something, brother. My tongue's too long sometimes. By the way, some of you men, we talk about the ladies' tongue. You get a crowd of preachers together and you ain't never heard such gossip in your life. Amen. Listen, I don't want to talk bad about nobody. I'm reminded of what Brother Sammy Allen said one time, that great man of God and my friend right before he died. I'm glad I got to know Brother Sammy just a little bit right before he died. I didn't get to know him as well as some of y'all did. Boy, Brother Sammy, that great gentleman, that great Christian. Bunch of preachers sitting around one night. Brother Sammy, there's eating, and this fella got talking about somebody. Boy, he was just giving the latest gossip on that guy. Brother Sammy, he heard about all he wanted to hear, and he stopped. He said, hey. He said, "Brother," he said, "you seem to know more about this situation than the rest of us." He said, "How about you leading us, Lord, in prayer and praying for that brother?" I found out over the years that we shouldn't be criticizing people. You say, "But preacher, they fell into sin." Well, let God deal with them. God don't need you. You're not heaven's FBI. Amen. Listen, I'm not the watchdog of my church. Did you know I'm not to keep everybody in line? I'm not to bark at everybody. I'm not to go to my pastor every week and say, "John Henry did this, and Henrietta did that, and Susan did this, and Jane did that, and Bill did this." Well, I'm not to do that. You say, "Preacher, do you see people do things wrong sometimes?" Why, brother, people do wrong every day. But it's pray for them. Amen. We want to control that tongue. Amen. Be careful what we say about it. And then what about our desires? Our desires. Amen. Boy, they get us in trouble. Amen. We're to live soberly. We're to have some control over our desires. Amen. A man gets looking at somebody else's wife. He gets talking to her. First thing you know, he gets comfortable around her. Next thing you know, his desires, he's forgot his wife, his kids, his family, his church, his ministry, his life. And all of a sudden, everything he's worked for has gone up in smoke. Why? Because of no self-control. We've got to be careful. We've got to say no to ourselves, amen? Our appetite, that's physically. I'm 59 years old. I've got a good doctor. He's a good man. He's a Christian doctor, saved by the grace of God. He's a good man. But my doctor tries to take care of me. And I found myself now starting to eat right. By the way, it ain't so bad to try to eat right. I didn't say I eat perfect now. There's sometimes I backslide on that, but I'm trying to do better. You know why? Because I want this body to live as long as it wants to, or as long as God wants it to, rather. And I want to preach. You say, "Preacher, how many more years you going to preach?" I don't know. You may have to put up with me a little while longer. You know, God might let me live to be. I preached 41 years. God might let me live to be 98, and I'd preach 80 years. I doubt that He will, because I've been so mean my lifetime, things I've done, things I said, "Mom, Dad," I don't know what God will do, but I know this. I'd love to be able to preach 80 years. Well, wouldn't that be a blessing? Most people retired from their career in 25 years. They retired, and God's allowed me to do this 41 years. Thank God. That's what about our appetite? Better because our time. We ought to live soberly in this world. You know, I spend too much time. I waste time. I get talking to people too much. I really do. You know, I'm going to cut back on that. I can't give everybody an hour a day. I can't give you an hour a day if you call me on the phone. I can't give you an hour a day. Well, if I do that, I'll never get anything done. I'm learning to be a discipline. The Bible said redeeming the time, buy back the time, seeing the days are evil. Brothers, there's sins on every hand. Maybe I didn't quote it word for word, Ephesians 5. But we are to live soberly, righteously. Amen. I'll get to that in a minute. But soberly, that's temper. That's self-control. I'm to have control over my time. You say, "Well, preacher, the Lord gets in it. It's all right." No, it ain't. No, it ain't. The Lord wants you to have control. The Lord wants you to be disciplined. My wife talked to me for years. Now, she has all the education in our house. I thank God for my wife. She's such a blessing. And I'll be honest, when we first got married, she'd make me mad. She'd say, "Ricky, you need to get disciplined. You need to get on a schedule." Boy, it'd make me so mad. You see, my old heart and people had built me up and told me how good I was and how good I preached, and they ruined me. Oh, I had so much pride in me. I thought, man, I'm God's gift to heaven and all this kind of stuff. I mean, they'll have to go through God to get to Him, but they're going to have to pass by me too when they get there. No, they ain't going to pass by me. Listen, brother, man, she'd tell me, "Get on the schedule." Boy, I tell you what, be disciplined. Prayer list will discipline your prayer life. Amen. Then Well, this is a big one, our thoughts. I want to work on my mind. I want to discipline my mind to think right. It's so easy to think bad about somebody, ain't it? You know what? The grace of God teaches me I shouldn't think bad about them. You know what? You ever thought bad about somebody? You know, one problem is people don't stop in this day and time long enough for God to deal with them. They got a noise going. You get in the car, you got to, and by the way, I'm for radio. But there are times you get in the car, you don't need to listen to radio. There are times you don't need to listen to anything. You need to let your heart commune with God. You know that? Why, there are people that sit down, they cut TV on. They're not even listening to TV. They just have a racket. They go to bed at night with the TV on. And they go to sleep with the TV on. How's God called communion? The psalmist said commune with God on your bed. Listen, let God get in your thoughts. Let God establish your thoughts. Be self-controlled. Then let's go back to verse 12 now. We're talking about the teaching grace of God. That we're to live soberly and righteously. Did you know I'm to live righteous? I'm not a Pharisee. I'm not a legalist, but I'm to do what's right. Why, we're to have revival if Christian people do what's right. Why, nowadays, a saved, born-again believer is soon to cheat as a non-Christian would. Why, young people in school, they don't think anything about cheating on the test. Why, brother, right is right, wrong is wrong. Dr. Ballou gave this little tongue twister one time. It's never right to do wrong. It's never wrong to do right. It's always right to do right and always wrong to do wrong. So just do right. Let me give you that again. It's never right to do wrong, never wrong to do right. It's always right to do right. It's always wrong to do wrong. So just do right. You want it one more time? It's never right to do wrong, never wrong to do right. It's always right to do right, always wrong to do wrong. So just do right. Do right. Whatever you do, just do right about it. You say, preacher, there's nothing wrong with a little white lie. Sir, you didn't get that out of the Bible. There is something wrong with it. Well, I told a little white lie to keep my marriage together. Those little white lies will tear your marriage apart one day. Well, I have to tell a little white lie to my husband, you know. I mean, he don't like a certain thing, but I put it in his food and don't tell him, but I tell him something. I'm glad my wife loves me better than that. My wife don't pull in those gimmicks and tricks with me. I appreciate my wife for that. I thank God for her. She knows there's certain things I don't like. If I don't like it, we don't eat it. Amen. Bless her heart. And bless her heart. And if she don't like something, amen, we don't eat that. She don't eat that. I don't want her to eat something she don't want. But anyway, I got on that. But let me go on here. I'm talking about doing right. What about on your job? Do you do right? You sit in that office and goof off on that phone all day and play on that phone all day, play games when you're supposed to be working. Then the boss comes by and says, well, have you got this done, Sam? Well, I forgot about that. Well, I forgot about that. Josephine, you got this done? Well, I'm sorry, ma'am. I forgot about that. Let me tell you something, friend. It's time we in the churches, we'd have revival if we started just doing what was right. Somebody said, well, I do right, but that's my kids. Well, you don't put your kids over what's right. Somebody said, well, you know, family's thicker than blood's thicker than water. Not when it comes to the Bible. We're to do what's right. Amen. If my brother quits serving the Lord today, I'm still to do what's right. If I quit serving the Lord, he's still to do what's right. Let me read you a few verses about the righteous. Psalm 11 and verse number 7, the Bible said, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. By the way, somebody said, well, you don't get a special blessing for living right. Well, that ain't what God said. You better read your Bible, friend. Well, God don't have pets. No, he don't have pets, but God blesses some more than others. He said, the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. Ain't you glad our Lord's right? You know, God always does right. Sometimes God's had to chasten me in my 48 years of being saved. And God's been right every step of the way. Ricky Cothran's been wrong about it. God's been right. He's right. Amen. But you know what? He's right. Then I think about Proverbs chapter number 10, verse number 3. The Bible said, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. Did you know what? If I live for God, God's going to feed me all my days. You never see me in a welfare line. If I live for God and I live right, that's God's testimony. Proverbs 10:11 says, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Proverbs 10:24 says, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. By the way, if I'm living right, God will give me the desire of my heart, because if I'm living right, I'm going to want God's will. Amen. That's right. Proverbs 10:28 says, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The Bible said in Proverbs 10:25, as the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. Boy, ain't you glad that, amen? You think about people that have died. I think about men like Percy Ray and Harold Sattler. They were righteous men. They got an everlasting foundation. You think about old Dr. Sattler. Started that great Tabernacle Baptist Church and that Bible college and that children's home and the grade school. Think about how many people come through that grade school and how many people come through that children's home and how many people have been saved by that radio ministry. Think about that. Think about what Dr. Sattler, just think about that one man, old Percy Ray, walked with God, started that great camp. How many people have been blessed by going out to that camp? Brother, boy, I tell you what, the righteous. Now let me come to number 7. I got to go. Verse number 12. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly. What does that mean? Piously. We should want the things God wants. I'm to live godly. I'm to be in prayer. I'm to be in my Bible. I'm to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. I'm to live godly. Verse number 12 again, the 8th point. Where am I to do all this? Where am I to live soberly, righteously, and godly? Where am I to deny worldly lust? When I get to heaven? No. In this present world. I'm to live this way in this, for all of you who say, well, I'm not under law, I'm under grace. God said the grace of God teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly. Where? In this present world. I'm to live for God right now. By the way, if you won't live for God now, I don't think you'll be doing much in the millennial reign. There's going to be people, you're going to be the lowest, amen, in the millennial reign. Everybody's going to rule over you because you lived it up in this world. You see, this you got to learn something in life. This world ain't my home. God's given me life. God's given me breath. God's given me a good life. I have been so blessed in life. I've been blessed with friends. I've been blessed with preacher friends. I've been blessed with good churches to preach in. I've been blessed with good radio stations to preach on. I've been blessed with a good wife, a good family, a good brother. I got a good mom and daddy. I mean, things might not always been right, but they taught me the best they knew. My old daddy prayed me in. My mama prayed God would call me to preach. And 2 weeks before she died, she said, son, I'd rather you'd stay a preacher. And boy, I ain't preaching for mama, but I'm preaching for Jesus. Amen. And so, you know when I'm, you know where I'm to live this life in this present world. I'm going to close. Let me give you this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, the Bible said, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Verse 14 says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 15 says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Listen, I'm to be a light to this world. I wonder how many people will go to hell by the way you live and the way I live. How many people will go to heaven by the way you live and by the way I live? Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The Bible tells us that we all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. A grace that teaches. Let me close by reading our two text verses again. You say, preacher, I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. I can just do anything I want to. Well, you're going to have a hard time with these two verses right here in the book of Titus. And I thank God being able to preach from the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Father, will you take this message and use it for your glory? Thank you for letting me be your preacher today. And I pray, Lord, this message will help somebody. It's not meant to hurt anybody. I pray it'll help them. In Jesus' wonderful name, I pray now. Amen.